Well, it's always good to be home, so thank you guys for having me and putting up with me one more Sunday. I appreciate that. So what if I told you this morning that there were two words that could change your life? Like, would you believe me? Like, really, there's two words that literally can kind of turn things around, can bring life, can bring light, can bring energy, can bring passion. There's just two words, and they're really, really simple words. But at Christmas time, we celebrate the light of God, right? We celebrate the light that came to us, right? And so we're kind of finishing up. We're moving into the new year. It's like, man, really, we're going to go back over the Christmas story. Yeah, we kind of are, a little bit. Because the reality is we celebrate Emmanuel, God with us. That's a big deal. God came to be with us. So the light of God came to be with us. Now, if you've ever just stopped and thought about that, it's really, it's miraculous. It's almost cosmically ridiculous. I mean, that's a really big phrase that's out there, but yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, think about this. What king have you ever heard of would do this for their enemy, truly, right? I mean, sin, whether you've murdered someone or whether you just have a bad attitude towards people, it's all the same. It all represents this broken heart that we have, this broken identity that we have. God came to be with us. So there's two words that can change your life. And these two words are this: with and for. Kind of weird, simple, easy words. I mean, we use them all the time. I use them all the time. I mean, like, really? Like, those are the two words? Yeah, those are the two words. And those two words, it really matters what order you put them in. Because if you get it reversed, it won't work. It won't work. So we all know what it's like to work for someone. I had a job growing up working at a tree company. And I loved it because I worked hard and I was making way more than any of my friends working at McDonald's were. But man, I was working my tail off. And I would come home like just bloody, just, you know, my arms would be torn up, my legs. Everything's just torn up. My face would be torn up. I mean, just, you'd have grease and nastiness from the chains. I mean, it's just stinky, awful mess. But man, worked hard. And I was making good money. I was working for a guy, and I was excited about that. My buddy worked with me, and it was his dad, and we had a good time. We worked hard, and I learned a lot. And so as I got learning a little bit more, like what it would do is I would work for him, and then the hours that I would work for him, on Friday we would show up at his house, and I'd say, hey, I worked this many hours for you, and I'd show him my log and say, like, this is what I worked for you, and then he would give me a paycheck, right? So, I mean, there's an expectation there. Like, dude, I worked for you. And so now you pay me. You owe me because I put this time in, and now we rectify the situation. You give me what I'm owed, right? And it was fun. I mean, I enjoyed working there. I remember as I got to get a little bit further along, he would take me with him to do like resident tree jobs and things like that. And a few times I got to be in on the bidding, which was really unfortunate for me because then I got to see how much he was actually making while he was doing these tree jobs that I was doing most of the work for, and realized, wow, you're making a whole lot more than I am, and I'm doing a lot of the work here, bro. Like, this isn't right. So that kind of gave me a little bit of a bitter spirit about it, but I kept working. You know, I asked him for a raise. He gave me a raise. That was nice. But at the end of the day, like, I'm working for this guy, and at the end of the day, he's the one really getting all the benefit, and I was just kind of getting kind of what I was owed as a high school kid, you know, working for him. Didn't matter how hard I worked. So it does kind of leave you feeling a little bit bitter. And you guys know what it's like to work for someone, right? I mean, a lot of us really aren't doing what we're really passionate about. I mean, we might have a hobby that we're passionate about, but like our jobs, you know what this is like. You've had jobs. You've done things for people, not necessarily because that's what you wanted to do, but you needed to do that for that person. And sometimes it can leave us looking a little bit like this person here. Just a little bit like, I'm bored. Or, really, we got to do this again? I mean, you can interpret that face a lot of different ways. There's a little bit of disgust there, like, this is ridiculous. What am I doing? And when we do things for people, that's fine. But it can lead to bitterness. It can lead to boredom. It can lead to just like, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. And quite honestly, when we do that with the Lord, when we're living for Him, it can really leave us the same way. In fact, we can really get things backward and say, Lord, I'm doing these things for you, so that means when I come to you, you should be paying me back. I've tithed, I've gone to church, I pray, I'm nice to people, so what I ask for, you should be giving it back because we have a contract here. I do this for you, you do this for me. There we are. And man, you can just hear it, you can just see, like, where's the passion in that? Where's the relationship in that? So I just kind of wonder today, maybe if your relationship with the Lord isn't quite where you want it to be, you're like, man, I think I should be further along than I am, or I'm really not super passionate about Jesus, like just He and I. Forget church here, forget people sitting around, just He and I. Like I really am not passionate about Him. Maybe it's because you've been doing so many things for Him, but you haven't really been doing life with Him. Because the reality is this, if you guys go to that next one, the reality is this, you cannot live for Him if you do not live with Him. And let me just tell you something that really takes the pressure off. For so many of us, if we're working for the light, we forget, first of all, that God came to be with us, right? And if we're still working for the light, then we're ignoring that whole truth. So let's just start there, like that's a problem. We're ignoring the truth and the reality of Scripture and the fact that Jesus wants a relationship with you, right? But if we're working for the light, then it really makes things awkward because then it's more like God has the light and we're working for the light. But here's the problem, as we're going to see in Scripture, there's really only two places to be. You're either in the light or you're in the dark. So if you're working for the light, then you're working in the dark to try to get the light. Do you see the problem? That's not going to work. And it also puts God in a really weird spot. Like, I've got the light, but I'm going to hold on to it and see how good you do working in the dark. Forgetting the fact that He actually came and said, no, I came into the dark to be with you. For many of us, we forget we're in the light. God is with us. The pressure is off. You don't have to perform for the light. You don't have to do good for the light. You don't have to work hard for the light. The light has already come. And you can kind of stop and look around and say, how did I get here? How am I in the light? I didn't do anything. Yeah, you're right. You didn't. Jesus did. And it begins to create a thankfulness and a love. And out of love comes obedience. And out of obedience comes sacrifice. You can't go the other way around. You can't start with sacrifice and move to obedience and hope you'll just love that. You just love God enough then. That never works. Tell me a love story on Hallmark. Tell me a love story on Hallmark that began with somebody just sacrifice. Man, I don't really want to be with that girl. But maybe if I just sacrifice enough and then maybe if I just obey what she tells me to, then maybe some feelings will start to come and I'll love her. Tell me a Hallmark movie that starts that way. All of them. Yeah. Yeah. Right. It doesn't happen. That's not the way it works. We cannot live for God unless we are living with God. So let's go to some scripture. This comes from John. This is chapter 1, and we're going to be looking at verse 5 through 9. And I believe I have it in the Message version, so we're going to hit that first slide here. It says this, "This is the message we have heard from Him and declared to you." So they're hearing this from Him, from, like, this is from Jesus. This is direct from Him. So they're saying, look, we are firsthand eyewitnesses account to what Jesus has said and what He has done. So let's share this with you. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. So we've established this right now. Like, there's two worlds here. There's two kingdoms. There's light and there's dark. God is light. There is no dark in Him. So the reality is, if God is with you, there is no darkness in you either. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Jesus has done. So you can't be working in the dark for the light and say that you're with God. It doesn't work that way. In fact, let's go to the next slide. If we claim to have fellowship with him, again, you see all these relationship words? This is not about, you know, this task list that he wants you to do, or he's a boss and you're his worker and you're supposed to do things for him. It says, if you claim to have fellowship with him, so he's pointing to the real heart of all of this. If you claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we don't live in our truth. I mean, like, look, this is what we're talking about. If you're with God, you're in the light. But if you claim to be in the light, but you're actually living in darkness, working, whether you're working for the light, hoping I'm doing enough to be good enough to get the light, or you're just completely don't care about the light, you're just living in the dark, but you claim that you have fellowship with him, you really don't. And the reality is, this is really easy to do if you've been a Christian for a long time, honestly. Oh, wow, yeah, I have fellowship with him. Yeah, man, Jesus and I, we're tight. We're really, I love Jesus. And when I sing these songs, and you know, I sing and it's great and everybody sees that and it's great. But I really wonder, like, what does the rest of your week look like? Because if you're really with him and you really realize the pressure is off and I really get to be with him, then check your passion. Is your passion for him there? Is your love for him there? Is it a checklist? Is it something that you're supposed to do? Or you're trying to do these things for him so that he'll answer that big prayer you've been asking? Here's the reality. Let's go to the next slide. You cannot live for him if you do not live with him. No matter what you do, no matter how good your deeds, no matter how much you sacrifice. It does not work that way. You cannot switch these two words around. I'm going to begin living for you, and eventually I'll learn how to live with you. It's the other way around. Because that's actually the gospel message. Before you confessed, while we were still sinners, God came. So while you were still in dark, God came. The light came to be with you and me. So it doesn't matter how much you do, if you are reversing that around, you're actually not following what the gospel message is. And praise be to God, thanks be to God, that he came to us in the darkness. Because the reality, that kind of thinking is thinking that comes from in the darkness. Because it can't see. It can't understand. It can't perceive any of this. And so when we find ourselves in that, it's because we're thinking in the darkness and not allowing the light to be with us. Does this make sense? Further, it continues, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So let's look at this for a second. So if we walk in the light as he is in the light, you know, you could almost think, okay, wait a second. This scripture just kind of reversed things. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. So you're telling me I need to walk in the light, and then we'll have fellowship with one another. But that would actually be, you would have to rewrite the entire New Testament if that's really how that's supposed to be. If that's really what that's saying. That's not what that's saying. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. It's being predetermined here in this that you are actually in the light. Like you, it's presupposing on you that you are someone who is actually in the light. And for you to be in the light means that you have come and you have confessed and you have known that Jesus Christ is Lord and you've asked for forgiveness of your sin and you have recognized him as Lord. And so you are in the light, realizing that God has come to be with me. I have given my life to him. So he's saying, if that has happened, if you have set down all of your work and you have set down all of your good deeds, you have set down all of your sin and whatever might be there, and you've said, God, I am yours, take all of me, you are walking in the light. So if you're in the light as he is in the light, which means you are then perfectly connected to the Father, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, I don't know about you, but like when I read through this, I feel like if you just read it at a glance, there's almost like something missing. Because it says, wait a minute, so now in the verse before, it said we would have fellowship with him, but now we're talking about having fellowship with one another. Why doesn't it say with him? It doesn't say that like explicitly, like I should read that. But what he's saying is this. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we will have fellowship with one another. That's an extra benefit. Like if you have a real problem having unity with people around you, it could be that you're not walking in the light. If there are people in this room or people in your lives that there is just real friction and you are not finding ways of to redeem that relationship with one another, it could be because there's darkness there. And you're not allowing the light of God to shine on that situation. And whatever that might mean you just need to set it down and let God do what he's going to do. It could be that God's calling you to go work hard at that relationship. It could be that God is telling you specific things to say. I don't know. There's any number of ways that God might be working in that situation. But we will have fellowship with one another. I mean, that's just straight out of God's word. But then you almost feel like, well, wait a minute. Did it leave out that we're supposed to have fellowship with him? No, because the rest of it is actually about that. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. So here's the reality. If we are purified from all sin, then there is no darkness, which means we are in the light. Isn't that a beautiful thing? And how do we get the purity? How do we get a pure heart? How do we have forgiveness of sin? Again, it's not from what we do. It's not the things that we do for God where he's like, okay, wow, James, you did like 4 things for me this week. That's pretty good. Thanks. So now I'm going to give you pure heart. You can't earn it. You can't gain it on your own work. It is purely a gift from Jesus, undeserved, unwarranted, simply because he wants to be with you. And it was that way from the beginning. When God created the heavens and the earth, and he created Adam and Eve, and he breathed life into Adam, and he took a rib from Adam, and he created Eve, and he was with them in the cool of the day. Like God was with them in the garden. And even though their sin separated, it said, no, wait a minute. Cool, but you're withholding, like what the serpent is whispering, like God is lying to you. He's withholding from you. He's keeping things from you. You could be your own God. You could do your own thing. This could be all yours. And all of a sudden now, like walking into darkness, stepping away from the truth and from light, like, oh, really? Like, wow, that sounds like something I want to be a part of. And relationship is broken. We were meant to be with God. And that's not just like an idea that God came up with. It is actually perfectly the way the Trinity is. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, perfectly loving, honoring, caring for, loving one another. We were birthed out of that. It's the energy from that we were created from God through that kind of relationship. We are meant to be perfectly with one another. But if we're going to be thinking about ourselves first, it breaks that. And that's what Adam and Eve did. When we think about ourselves first, it breaks that. And from that point forward, because God doesn't get it backward, I want to be with you. You have broken this relationship. So now I am going to do things for you that you could never do for yourself. Because ultimately, it will make a way for you to be with me again. That is the way. So it looks a little bit like this. Let's go to that next slide. So the difference between being for God and with God is the story of Jonah. God, you want me to do this for you. I don't want to do this for you. I don't like those people. I'm not going to go talk to them. I don't like what they represent. I don't like who they are. I don't like how they dress. I don't like what they say. So I'm not going to go do that for you. Those aren't the kind of people you fellowship with. Those aren't the people you're with. Really? Because if that's true, then we're all in trouble. But when you have to do something for God, it becomes a task and a job. And I don't want to go get dirty and do that job. And what does he do? He runs. I mean, where's the passion? Where's the, okay, God, I don't know why you want me to go over there. And I have all of my own reasons why that won't be a good idea. However, I know if you're calling me to it, you're going to go with me through it. And so you're going to be with me. So if you're with me, it doesn't really matter what I think about those people over there. It doesn't really matter what I think about what might happen to me. You're going to be with me. And that's all that matters. And if I walk over there and they kill me, then I'm going to be even more with you because I'll be in heaven with you, right? Like, I can't lose here. Being with God looks more like this next one. You guys remember this story? Willing to sacrifice his own son. Can you imagine that? Now tell me where that makes sense. Tell me how that's a really fun idea. And if you are really just doing life for God, like I'm working for you, that means you're supposed to pay me in good things. Tell me how that fits that narrative. But for Abraham to be able to say, no, God, you are with me. And so no matter what you ask, you're going to be with me. And so, yeah, I'll follow you. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't even know how that fits in anything I've ever read about you. But if you're with me, yeah, I'll do that. Of course I will. The next one. If you're doing things for God, you're going to tend to look more at what you are or what you aren't. I mean, Moses doesn't realize the with thing yet. Because his first response to God saying, I want you to go back and free my people is, you got the wrong dude. Like, I can't talk. I mean, they don't like me back there. They hate my guts. In fact, when I go back, they're going to remind me of the murder that I committed a long time ago, and they're going to want to kill me. Like this, you have absolutely got the wrong guy. Well, yeah. Yeah, you're right. You did murder that guy. And yeah, you're right. You don't talk so well. But guess what? I am going to be with you. So if you're following God and you know the things that God is calling you to, but you're afraid, there's a real chance that you are looking at what you have and what you don't have rather than who is with you. Because that's the reality we live in. If God's calling you to do something where it requires $10 million, and you know that God's called you to it, and you're like, I've got $10, you go. Why? Because that's not $10 million for God. Are you kidding me? Like, he can do that right now. He could turn that dumb light into $10 million if he wanted to. What are we worried about? We're going with God. It's not about the $10 million. It's not even about what you're going to accomplish. It's about that God is doing life with you. With you. And out of being with God, it stirs passion. It stirs a love and a desire to be with him. Much like this next slide. David. When you're living life with God like he was, watching over sheep, singing songs to him, praying to him, spending time with him every day. I mean, it created a passion in David where he's looking at all these men who are supposed to be battle-ready, strong, brave men, and they're wimps, they're cowering back. And he's like, what's wrong with you people? Don't you know who we're going with to battle here? Okay, so he doesn't need all of you. All he needs is me, and I'm nobody. And I'm just going to walk out, and I'm going to sling a stone, and it's going to be over. Why? Because I come at you with the name of the Lord. You come at me with whatever you want. You can have all the weapons in the world. You can be the most dynamite army that we've ever seen, the biggest, strongest dude ever. It doesn't matter. Because I'm coming with the Lord, and that's all that matters. Passion put him out in that field, not, oh man, I don't want to do this for you. You better pay me big for this. I mean, pay me big. I'm coming with you. I'm coming with the name of the Lord. So I wonder how much this would change things for you and for me. If we could really live with God, God and not live for God. Like if the with was first and the for came because of being with him. I wonder how much this would change, next slide, if we spend time with him each day. Rather than, I'm going to do this for you, God. You want me to pray. You want me to read your word. That's something that you want me to do. I'm going to do this for you. What if we woke up each morning and we're like, wow, I get to do this with you. And you realize you're not doing those things to earn the light that day. You're going to just be in the light. Can you imagine? Like how much that changes things? The pressure's off. Like I'm not going to sit down and spend time with you, God, because then that'll make my day better. I'm going to sit down and spend time with you, God, because I love you. And I get to be with you. And these are special moments that I get to be with you. And then the rest of the day, with all the busyness and all the things going on, I'm still with you. But man, I get these special moments with you. Where it's just you and me. Sometimes I talk, and sometimes you talk, and sometimes neither of us talk. And sometimes your word says exactly what I need to hear. And sometimes I'm not really sure. I walk away like, I don't know what I got out of today. But I know I got to be with you. I wonder how it would change, next slide, our dark moments. One before that. Like when things really aren't going well. You find out you have cancer. Whatever might be going on. And instead of just being devastated and ruined and hopeless and crushed, or even picking up that righteousness, self-righteousness backpack and saying, this is my journey and I'm going to walk it for God and I'm going to do this for God. Because I've been around people who are that way and they end up getting bitter. They really do, like almost every time. And you can just kind of sense it. Or it just comes across fake. And it just, you're like, I know, I'm looking in your eyes and I'm hearing you say what you're saying about God, but I'm telling you, you don't believe that. And in your heart of hearts, if you really were went home right now and were honest with yourself, you would tell me that you are absolutely angry at God. And he should have acted by now because you've been doing this for him. And he should be healing you by now. He should be doing this by now. He should be doing that by now. That pack gets heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. And you become more and more bitter and separated from God. But if we're doing life with him, man, you're going to be with me through this? Yeah, I'll do that. I get to be with the King of Kings. I get to be with the God who's over all the universe. I get to be with this one that's like so famous that we talk about, we hear about, and Christmas is built around. I mean, like, I get to be with that person every day. Are you kidding me? He knows me by name. He knows the number of hairs on my head. Like, he cares that much about me. So I want to get to know him because, like, that would be pretty great to be with him. And I even wonder how much it would change, next slide, our good times. Like, I don't know about you, but sometimes when things are going really good, it's easy for me to just kind of skip on down the road until things go bad again. And then I'm like, whoa, God, wait a second. What happened? Like, things are bad now. We were really good, but now they're bad. So I need to spend time with you so I can get some control over this and feel good about it. But also in the good times, to be able to celebrate and put the praise where it's due and the honor where it's due to say, God, even in this great time right now, I get to be with you and celebrate with you about what you have done. And let me tell you something. This is almost like a built-in automatic humility maker. Because we're tempted when things go good to all of a sudden say, well, yeah, look at that. I did awesome. That was pretty good. Look at what I did. But when we realize, wow, God is with me, we are quicker to be able to stop and say, wow, look what you did. Look what you're doing. I see what you're up to now. Hey, let me tell you about what he did. Let me tell you about what God's doing in my life. And it becomes much, I mean, if you're having trouble sharing Jesus with people, Like, it becomes a much more passionate flow out of your mouth when you're actually living with him rather than just doing things for him, right? I mean, like, I think about my boss that I worked at a tree company for, and, like, I have some negative things to say about him. There were some Fridays where he didn't pay me, and I had to wait because he didn't have any money. There's some times where it was really frustrating, and sometimes he was a real hothead jerk. I just didn't want to be around him. I'm like, dude, I'm working for you. You better pay me, right? And sometimes we might even have those ideas about God, or we might have frustrations with God, but when we go and be with him and we take those things before him and we say, God, I don't know what to do with this. Sometimes I feel like you're not paying attention. Sometimes I feel like this. Sometimes I don't know what to do with it, but I know that you're with me. And so if you're with me, I know that you're going to help set this straight. But even if it doesn't, even if I never understand it, I know that just by being with you, I'm going to come to a point where I don't even need to understand it anymore. Because I have you, and I'm with you, and so I don't need that. And when you're in that place, and you're trying to share Jesus with someone else, that passion, that love, it's just going to happen. It just comes out of your mouth, out of the heart. That's just what happens. But if you're trying to force it because God says, I want you to go talk to people for me, and you're trying to go talk to people about Jesus for him, like, it's going to come across that way. And then you're like, yeah, I don't really want what you're selling me. But if you're like, let me tell you, like, guys, I don't, you know, you may think I'm crazy, but I'm just telling you, like, I've been spending time with God, and I'm just telling you it's the real deal. Like, can I pray for you about something? Can I talk to you about it? Let me share what he's done in my life. Let me share where I was, and let me share where I am. Let me show you what he's done in the past and what he's doing now. Let me tell you about my other friend that I watched Jesus do incredible work in. You see? Like, how much more are people going to be open to that kind of message than if we're just doing it for him? And then collectively, as a church, like, are we just doing this church thing on Sundays for him? Like, is it something that you're just supposed to do so you're here? And you're just hoping, like, this kind of keeps you in a good place with God? So he's not too mad at you. And you can kind of feel good about, hey, I went to church, so I feel good about where I am with God because I did some of the things he wants me to do. Instead, are you here because this is an opportunity to be with God, with one another, and to celebrate what happened last week, and to celebrate what's going to happen this week, and to give all of that glory to God because it's his. It changes everything. These two little words and putting them in the right order. When we are with God, the passion moves us to live for him. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning, we celebrate as Christmas wraps up and we move into the new year. We celebrate this truth that your light has come and it is here. And you are with us. That was not something that we asked for, earned in any way. But you did it because you love us and you want to be with us. And you have paved a way for us to be with you. And we thank you for that today, Jesus. We give you the honor and the praise for that. And Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for each person in this room. I pray, God, that you would help us to remember the pressure is off. The weight is off. We are in the light because of what you have done. And so now that frees us up to be with you. And being with you allows us to live our lives truly for you in a way we've never experienced before. To be like David, bold, strong, confident. To be like Abraham, willing to do whatever it takes. To be like Paul, or any of those other ones reading the scriptures, Lord, that just passionately strong following after you no matter what comes their way, whether they're in prison or they're going to be killed like Stephen or they're whatever it might be, they're just so passionately strong following after you. Lord, we can have that too. But help us, Jesus, Help us to stop and remember you are with us and that we get to be with you so that we can live our lives for you. Jesus, you are so good to us, and we give you all the praise and the honor today. We thank you for the way you love us. Bless us, Father, with your presence over this next year. Each of the families represented here, I pray that you would help us to feel you and see you and know you in ways we've never imagined before. And for this church, Lord, as they go through this time, this interim time, as they seek a new pastor, a new leader, I pray, God, that you would be bringing that person right now, even today, you'd be readying their heart and their mind for that transition in their lives, that the right person would come and lead them to be with you even closer. Jesus, again, we love you today, and we thank you for your goodness to us. Amen.